We turn again this week to Psalm 119, and we read from verse 9 down to verse 16. Psalm 119, verse 9 down to verse 16. Let us hear God's word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. May God add the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Tonight we come to verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Dear congregation, Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And what joy he knew in his heart, as the comforts of the word filled his soul. The psalmist here was found rejoicing. The Lord had so used the word, as he had done so in a previous time, and as he would in Jeremiah's heart, so at this time the Lord was using the word, and he had known joy within. Dear brethren, we are so blessed that the Holy Spirit makes the word effectual within our hearts. Many read the word of God, but that is where it ends. But we so often, dear brethren, have read and have been so blessed because the Holy Spirit has made the word effectual. He has brought it home to us. And joy has filled our hearts. The word comes, and it's a precious thing, isn't it, when the word comes to our soul. We're reading it, and then it comes to our soul, and it comes to direct us, it comes to settle us, it comes to comfort us and lift our spirits. Oh dear brethren, this book is of far more value than all the riches in this world, and it brings a far greater joy. Many a poor man in Africa knows much more joy in his heart than many in this village. Yes, they may have their wealth and their riches, but their lives are so empty and they are so poor. Yet there are a number in Africa who are so rich in the Lord, and they are so blessed and know great joy within. Now, if you follow through these verses, we haven't been here for a few weeks, but if you follow through these verses from verse 12, we read, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. The psalmist, having been taught, sought to live his life in an upright way, declaring the truth. And he had found much joy through the word. Dear brethren, let us often be in the word. And may we give much opportunity for the Holy Spirit to take the word and apply it within, that our hearts might fill with a measure of joy. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Firstly, tonight, the object of great delight. Secondly, holy joy. And then thirdly, godly reflection. Just note those words. I have rejoiced. The psalmist, yes, he's considering now the blessing of the word and how the Lord has used the word and lifted his soul, but he looks back. So we will consider in closing tonight, thirdly, godly reflection. Firstly, the object of great delight. Secondly, holy joy. Thirdly, godly reflection. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Well, let's think then of the object of great delight. Now, the psalmist said in Psalm 62, verse 10, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. If they increase, and it's made plain, they may. But the psalmist says, do not set your heart upon them. Yet many do. They set their hearts and they fix their eyes. Their eyes are just so fixed. Remember what Asaph said in Psalm 73, verse 7. Remember how he was tempted by the prosperity of the ungodly. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're so focused on their riches, and they have so many, they're so full. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than their heart could wish. Yet they were unhappy, and so are many today. Now many take great delight in their riches, and there is a measure of joy to them. However, the psalmist took great delight in God's testimonies. Now just note these words here. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. The psalmist is thinking of those who take great delight in their riches. Well, he says, so do I when it comes to the word of God. I take great delight as well. But if you turn to verse 72, not only is there a great delight that the psalmist has, as does the ungodly who has a great delight in his riches, but the psalmist's delight surpasses the joy of the ungodly. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Yes, the ungodly, they have a great joy in their riches. I have a great joy in riches, the psalmist is saying. But later on he speaks how the word is of much more value to him. The Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, spiritual delight in spiritual objects far exceedeth all the joy that we can take in worldly things. Yes, we see people happy. There's a passing joy in what they have, their wealth and their riches. But oh, we know a deeper joy. We know a heaven-sent joy in view of the treasure house or the treasure store of the word. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now we have here these words, the way of thy testimonies. This was the object of great delight. Well, let's briefly, first of all, note the word testimonies. And then we'll come back to consider these words in the way of thy testimonies. First of all, the word testimonies, simply a testimony or witness. When we think of a witness, it is one who solemnly gives a declaration or statement concerning a matter. Or may be called to bear witness in court, and they solemnly make a statement or declaration concerning the matter that is before the judge. Or think of the word of God. As a whole, it is a testimony or a witness of what we are to believe and what we are to practice. And it's God's testimony. Just note that there. Thy testimonies. And we have here before us what we are to believe and practice. What the Lord has made known. He's declared it. Remember those words in Psalm 68 verse 11. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the word. He has spoken. He has made known. And we're to believe it. And we're to do what we are to be found doing and practicing. Thy testimonies. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. As we think of the word inspiration, what does it mean, young ones, here tonight? Breathed out from God. The Lord gave the word. And so we have here. Thy testimonies. It's the witness, the testimony of the Lord our God. And let's just focus upon this again tonight. Just look at the Bible in front of you. It's God's word. And God speaks to you. And God speaks to me through this blessed book. So then we've considered what the testimonies are. The witness, the testimony. It's God's witness. But then we have these words here. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Let's think of the word, or the words, the way. The Hebrew is derek, which speaks of a road, the route, a journey, a course of life, or mode of action. As it were, God's word stretches out before us like a path or a road and shows us the way. And so we read in Psalm 119, verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. The path. We have here the way of God's testimonies. Psalm 119, verse 35, the path of God's commandments. It's the pathway, the way we are to go. However, I believe there's something more here. Not only is it the way we are shown, what we are to believe and what we are to practice. But then we think further of the way of experimental religion or the practicing. We think of the way of the word, firstly in the light of the path that is before us. But then we think of going that way. Experimental Christianity. And that's what the psalmist speaks of in verse 35 in the opening part. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. We thought of the path, the way, but then we think of the going, experimental religion, the way of thy commandments, or the way of the path. Make me to go that way. And we have interesting words in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You see there, the Lord, he causes his people to walk in my statutes, in his statutes. They go the way. There's this going. It's the way, and it's the way of the commandments or testimonies. So there's two things here. First of all, we think of the path that is before us, which the word of God makes plain to us. And then the going, the way, this activity. We're going down that way. A delight the psalmist knew in being shown what he was to do. But then further here in these words, he knew a delight in doing what he had been shown. Listen to William Cowper, or Cowper here, as he comments on these words. The testimony of God is his word, for it testifies his will. The way of his testimony is the practice of his word, and doing of that which he hath declared to be his will, and wherein he hath promised to show us his love. David found not this sweetness in hearing, reading, and professing the word only, but in practicing of it, and in very deed. You see? Not just being shown the way, but going the way. He's going down that pathway. He's following the word of God. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. He views the word and he rejoices that he is going. He's going the way of God's testimonies. And that leads us on then, secondly, to consider tonight, holy joy. We thought of the object of great delight. The ungodly, their object is their riches. The psalmist's object is the testimonies of the Lord. And the way of it, the going down that pathway which the Lord has made known. And he knows joy. So let's consider secondly then, holy joy. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony. I have rejoiced. We'll come back to those opening two words in a moment as we consider godly reflection. But let's note this word, rejoice. Now, the root of the word, the Hebrew word, is sosor, It means to be bright. That's at the root of the Hebrew word, to be bright, cheerful, to be glad, to make joy, to make mirth, to rejoice. The psalmist has this joy within his soul. The psalmist rejoices firstly in the word, in the pathway before him, but then secondly in going or in practicing or doing. There's a twofold joy here. The joy in considering the word, the testimonies, and then the joy of going that way. Dear brethren, make sure we know both joys, not just the first joy, but the second joy as well. The joy of going down the pathway that the Lord has declared unto us. Let me illustrate. You may come to a large dining room. Maybe over these next few weeks, you may have opportunity to enjoy a feast. Or you may come to a large dining room and your eyes light upon the spread that is before you. And you know a measure of joy. What a spread! But then there's another joy in the actual participating, the eating and the drinking. The joy in beholding, but then the joy in receiving. And the psalmist knew a joy in beholding the path, but he also knew a joy in going down that pathway. Let me use another illustration. You may see a text upon a wall and, well, you rejoice, there's a text. There's a verse of scripture. But then the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it, and it comes home to you. And you know the joy of focusing on those words, but being helped and strengthened through those words. A joy in beholding, but also a joy in being strengthened and helped within. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found. The word was brought to his attention, and that brought him a joy. And then he knew a joy in receiving or spiritually digesting the word of God. There's two things. Dear brethren, all to know both. All to know the joy in beholding and the joy in receiving. Now there is much sorrow in this world. Last night as I walked through the streets of Bath, it seems quite a few of the congregation were in Bath yesterday. Well, as I walked through the streets of Bath, I do not know if you who were there yesterday saw this, there were many homeless people. And they looked so sad, and there was this particular African lady. And she just had her head hung down, looking down. She was so sad. People look so sad at times, not just homeless people. Life is so empty for them. Just consider the unbelievers' lives. Yes, they may know a natural joy, sadly a sinful joy, but they do not know the joy of God's salvation. They do not know the joy of the Holy Spirit taking the word and applying it within and helping us and comforting us and strengthening us in our way. Their lives are so empty. You think of your neighbours without Christ. Yes, they may smile, they may be pleasant, but their lives are so empty. There's so much sorrow in this world. And even in our lives, dear brethren, we can find trouble and sorrow. There are times of weeping. As we saw last Lord's Day, there are nights of weeping, seasons of weeping. Psalm 116, verse 3. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And as we've considered often, they are chiefly the words of Christ through the psalmist. And so if Christ knew sorrow, if he found trouble and sorrow, we're not surprised. It is our portion at times. It finds us. You don't have to go searching for it, do you? It finds you. Suddenly, it comes. Maybe a word is said in your ear. Or you receive an email or see something before you and you're cast down. Suddenly a pain arises in your body and you're troubled. As we saw last Thursday evening in Job 14 verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's not heaven, is it? And let's be thankful for those trials and afflictions that wean us off this world and make us realise that this world is not heaven. It's not heaven. It is a veil of tears. Yes, we know some times of great joy. As we're considering here, there's this holy joy. But it's a veil of tears. But what a blessing in the veil of tears to know this holy joy within. To be able to say with the psalmist, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. There's a holy joy known within your heart. The joy of God's salvation. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 51 verse 12? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There'd been an absence. The Lord had withdrawn to a distance. Not totally or finally. That's impossible. We will never fall from grace. But the psalmist knew this withdrawing. And there'd been an absence of the joy of God's salvation. And so he prays, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And we know that he had gone astray. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah slaughtered. He was at a distance as well. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And it was restored. What a blessing is the joy of God's salvation. Let me just outline it again. To know our sins are forgiven. To know we have a precious Saviour who died for us. To know all will be well. To know that I am accepted. The joy of God's salvation. It's a precious thing, isn't it? Even if we just know this joy to a measure. And one may have doubts, but they know it to a measure. It's a precious thing, isn't it? To know I am forgiven. At times we may need to pray, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And we all know our own hearts. And we all know certain reasons why we don't know the joy of salvation. There's other reasons, but we all know certain reasons. But what a blessing to know it. To know Christ. Psalm 89 verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They know the joyful sound. You recall again the word of the angel to those shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings of great joy. And we have known them in our hearts. We've heard it, but we also know it. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. The Holy Spirit has put that joy within our hearts. The theologians speak of it being implanted within by the Holy Spirit. It's not there by nature. Yes, a natural joy. Yes, sadly, a sinful joy, as we read in Proverbs last Thursday evening about folly being a joy. But this grace of joy is not there by nature. It's put within. Remember those words in Galatians 5 verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Are we not thankful that the Holy Spirit came to reside in our souls? And we have known this joy in our hearts. The joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, at times I feel an absence to the Lord. There's a distance. But oh, the joy of knowing him. He is my Saviour. Just to be able to pause and reflect upon him. Just to be able to talk to him. You may be going along and something's on your mind and you can just meditate and you think of the Lord. You may be alone in a situation. Everybody else is unconverted, but there's a friend next to you and you can talk to him. The joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of knowing God's salvation, sins forgiven. The joy of going home to heaven. We know this joy to a measure. Joy even in sorrow. The Lord helping us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, the psalmist said in Psalm 4. The Lord has done it. And are we not thankful for that work of the Lord? Thou hast put gladness in my heart. And what a blessing it is to be found rejoicing in the Lord. There's much that can make you sad, but the Holy Spirit works. What a blessing when joy begins to fill your soul. Now consider here. There can be a joy known in the heart of the Lord, on the hearts of the Lord's people, as they are presented with the word, as they read it, and as it is applied by the Holy Spirit. They're shown the way, and a joy can arise in the heart. Providences may have been dark, but then a verse comes and the Holy Spirit so applies it and the soul is lifted. One may be puzzled or confused. A verse comes and is applied by the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm to do. How often we have read those words and we have found great profit and benefit from them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And how the Lord has so timely used those words in our lives. And we've known this help and this comfort and this strengthening and this measure of joy. This is what I'm to do. I'm to sit still. I'm to wait upon the Lord. I'm not to go running down the way of my own thoughts. I'm to rest in the Lord. And what a blessing it is when we're there, isn't it? When we're sitting still, leaning on the Beloved, trusting in him. There has been times when joy has filled our hearts in view of the word. Psalm 94 verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. There's the psalmist. He's got many thoughts in his mind. But then the word of God comes and he's comforted. And we can identify. We can have so many thoughts in our minds. What's going to happen? What am I to do here? But then the Lord brings a verse home to us. We may have turned to the word of God. And the verse comes home. In the multitude of my comforts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts. And we find those comforts, do we not, in the word of God. So this joy, this holy joy in being shown the way, in being helped by the Lord. But then secondly, this holy joy in going down the way of the Lord's testimonies. Psalm 119 verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. You come to the dining room, what a spread, it's all before you, and you know joy, you young ones. But then there comes a further joy. In eating the food. How blessed we are that we know this further joy. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I delight in thy commandments, and I delight in going down the pathway of thy commandments, in practicing what I am to be doing. I delight in being shown what I am to believe and what I am to practice. I delight further in believing and in practicing. Just think of the first half there. Is there not a joy when we're brought to a point when we believe the promises? I remember a preacher not too far away in Salisbury. He suddenly said to his congregation, after reading these words, my God shall supply all your needs. And he boomed out, do you believe it? We know those words. But what a joy when we believe those words. But then also when we go the way of duty, we practice what we believe. It's a delight, this joy. Oh, make me to go. And when our mind is focused on Christ and we're looking on to him, do not we find joy in doing what he desires us to do? A joy in doing what is right. It brings us a joy, doesn't it? When we really think of it, it doesn't bring us a true joy, does it? To go down bypath meadow? No, but it brings us a joy to do what is right, even if it is against the tide in this nation. to know we have done what is right, a joy in pleasing God, having faith within, going the way of the commandments, a joy that we can please God. Only believers can please God. Though unconverted men may have good intentions, it is only believers that can truly please God and do good works. And what a blessing. We please God when we look to him and we sincerely go down the path of his commandments and they're being enabled by the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. We can please God. Does it not bring us joy that because of his grace and our beloved Saviour, we can please God? A joy in glorifying God. Remember those words, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Doesn't that bring a joy when our eye is so focused on the Lord and we seek to glorify him? Here's a fault. There's a joy in eating, but there's a further joy when we eat to the glory of God. And here's a test for us. What should be the greatest joy? The joy of eating, or the joy of eating to the glory of God? A joy in glorifying God. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Is it not a joy to seek to glorify him? Yes, we fail. We sin. But oh, a joy when we feel that help and strength in seeking to glorify God. A joy in doing that which is good for my soul. A joy in doing that which will bring me nearer to Jesus. Just think of those times when we meditate upon the Lord. Do not we find a joy in meditating on the Lord? Are we not brought nearer to him? And then a joy in doing that which is aimed at the good of others. A joy in doing, a joy in believing, a joy in seeing the way we're to go, but then a holy joy in going that way is twofold. A holy joy in walking. You may go on holiday and you get to the car park and you view the mountain. And there's a joy. What a mountain. Look at the colours. I saw recently a picture of a hillside in Scotland in the autumn. There are so many colours. What a joyful picture, we could say. But then the joy of getting on the mountain. Oh, dear brethren, the joy of God's testimonies. But then the joy of going and obeying and doing. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would so work in our hearts. A holy joy. Thirdly and finally tonight, and with this we close. Godly reflection. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony, as much as in all riches. Let me ask you, are you looking behind you? Or are you looking back? Another way of putting it. I have. It's not something new I'm hearing tonight. It's something I've already enjoyed. Young ones, you come to a feast. Ah, there's a feast before me. And I know what it's like, because I had a feast last year. You can look back, dear brethren, we can look back. It's not the first time tonight, is it? We can look back and we can say with the psalmist, I have rejoiced. Yes, I am at this particular time. His soul had been lifted, but he's looking back at the same time. I have rejoiced. There's been days of sorrow. There's been days of darkness. There's been valleys and storms. But I've known what it is to rejoice. And even in some of those valleys and storms, I have rejoiced. I have. It's godly reflection. I rejoice in what I'm doing, but also in what I have done. And it's a good thing, isn't it, when we can look back and rejoice. Yes, the Lord has helped me. He so helped me to view the word and go the way of the word. Listen to Spurgeon. The psalmist not only says that he does rejoice, it's a testimony, isn't it? He's focusing on what he's doing now, as we have seen, as God has brought the word to him and caused him to go. The psalmist not only says that he does rejoice, but that he has rejoiced. For years it had been his joy and bliss to give his soul to the teaching of the word. I have rejoiced. It's what he's doing, but it's what he's done. And dear brethren, how blessed we are. We can look back with certain things, as the Apostle Paul makes known, forgetting those things which are behind the Philippians. But there's other things we can look back and rejoice. Look back, dear brethren. Look back at those times of joy when the Lord helped you through the word and helped you to go forward. And with that in mind, consider the present and then look to the future. I have rejoiced, so I believe I will rejoice yet again. Do not doubt the power of the word. Consider how the Lord has used his word in times past. Are you going to doubt the power of the word in the future? Do not doubt the ability of the Holy Spirit. In great power, he calls you to know a measure of joy in Christ. The word was made effectual. You believe the gospel. You've been helped to rejoice in times past. Do not doubt his ability now or in the future. You've proved him. And you've proved the word. And so you can go forward. Do you realize that? You've proved the Holy Spirit. You've proved the word. You can go forward. You can go forward into your next trial. And yes, the providence may be dark and mysterious, and sorrow may find you in that valley. But you can hope that the Holy Spirit will come and apply the word. Consider how the Lord has helped you. You're a helped people. The Lord's not going to forsake you. So I know you're going to be a helped people till glory. And you'll be eternally helped ever to rejoice in the Lord. It's Ebenezer, isn't it? I have rejoiced. And so I am rejoicing. And I know, no matter what comes before me, the Lord will bring me some measure of joy in the future. Psalm 115, verse 12. The Lord have been mindful of us. He will bless us. We'll sit down and meditate on past experiences when the Lord has took the word and helped you. And even though you begin to do that, the list just gets longer and longer. You can consider those deep valleys, but also those little valleys as well. How the Lord has helped you. Consider in times of sorrow, your heart was so down. But then you felt your soul being lifted. You began to some measure, even though it may have been with tears, rejoice in your Saviour. You've known what it is to rejoice in darkness, because your faith was strengthened and the Holy Spirit helped you. In darkness, your faith has been strengthened and you have sang. In a few months' time, we'll come to verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. There's the psalmist. He's on a pilgrimage. The pilgrimage took him through valleys. But he sang in the valleys. He knew joy. His heart was taken to where the sun shines in all his glory. And so he sang. Dear brethren, do not underestimate the power of this blessed book before you, in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Look back with the psalmist. Consider how he has caused you to rejoice in being shown the way and going that way. Consider the present. Rejoice. The Lord is leading you. And go forward in the way of God's testimonies. And if you do so, be assured you're going to know joy to some measure. Amen.